Well, welcome to the Bridge, a place where no perfect people are allowed. We've been talking about that statement for the last couple of weeks, and that's actually a phrase that we've used for a few years now just to describe who we are as a church, that we're not a bunch of perfect and polished people that have it all together, but we have our struggles and our issues. And we're just trying to work through those, and we're just trying to see where God is and all of that and how he can help us be everything that he's created us to be. So no perfect people allowed. And the last couple of weeks, we've been pushing into that statement and just trying to see if God has something for us as we start setting the course for this new year, what God might use, how God might use that statement in our life, specifically as it impacts four relationships that we believe are vital to our lives and living in an imperfect world. Now, I'm going to recap a little bit of where we've been, but to hear those messages in their entirety, if you're showing up today for the first time or you've been away for a couple of weeks, you can hear any of our messages in their entirety in one of two places. You can go to our website, which is thebridge.me/messages, and you can see the video format of our messages, or you can go to our podcast, which search on podcast, The Bridge Fellowship, little red bridge icon button comes up. That's us, and you can listen to us on the go. So if you ever have to be out in the week's future, you can go there and catch up anytime, stay up to date with where we are. But to recap, in week one, we talked about how our imperfection is not a deterrent to God. He's a perfect Heavenly Father, but in spite of our imperfection, he desires a relationship with us, and that relationship is characterized by the word intimacy. And then last week, we talked about what many of you have discovered, is that the Bridge is a perfect place for imperfect people, that you've discovered a perfect, loving Heavenly Father who's begun to change your life, and the Bridge then presents an opportunity, it's the perfect opportunity to impact an imperfect world. That is, you've gotten plugged in and God has used you to make a difference in our imperfect world. And a couple of things that we said last week specifically is that as Christ followers, those of us who have surrendered our hearts and lives to Jesus, and we say we're followers of Jesus, for those of us who say that, the Bible says that we are not spiritual consumers. That we are not in a place to sit back and go, what's in it for me? Meet my needs. I want. No, instead, we're most fulfilled when we are spiritual contributors, when we're finding ways to pour our lives into other people. And we looked at a place where Jesus talked about that for his own life, and it was true of his life. For those of us who follow him, it would be true of ours. That we're most fulfilled when we're giving our lives away. And we said that the church, and we're talking about Christ followers around the world, the church, that we as a church, we exist for the world. The church doesn't exist for us, but we as a church exist for the world. And last week, I asked you to sign up if you wanted to be on the front lines of being a part of one of our Bridge teams that's making a difference in our community and around the world and here on Sunday on our weekend services. And so many of you signed up. Now, let me just tell you this, if you didn't get contacted this past week, please be patient. The little ice storm kind of thing we had going on this past week, it closed our offices as well for a couple of days. So we're getting those contacts, all right? Well, you will be contacted. Just please be patient with us as we catch up on that. But so many of you signed up, and I'm so glad you did. Today, I want to talk about this third relationship, and it's really how our imperfections ought to be evidence to us that we need other people in our lives, that we need others to walk beside us, to encourage us, to challenge us at times, to hold us accountable. We need that, we're not the perfect package. We're all consumed, we've got it all, right here in one. No, we need other people to help us be everything that really we want to be, but also to help us be everything that God wants us to be. We need others to walk with us and help us in that. And I want to illustrate that by talking about the fact that in our lives, really our lives can be composed of three specific areas. And there may be more areas to your life, but I want to talk about three specific areas in your life. The first area, and these are the seats that we sit in at times, the first area we're going to call the real you. And that's who you are on the inside. That's who you are. In the Bible talks about your heart, who you, what makes up you on the inside, the real you. Your struggles, your character, your fears, your frustrations, your loves, your passions, your hopes, who you are on the inside that you know about, the real you on the inside. The second area of life are relationships. Who you are in those relationships. You're a brother, you're a sister, you're a father, you're a mother, you're a child. You have friends, you have coworkers, you have relationships in your life. And then the third area would be our responsibilities. Whatever you're responsible for, whoever you're responsible for taking care of, what responsibilities you have. If you're in school, the responsibilities for your grades. If you're working, the responsibility at your job. The responsibilities that you have, whatever you've been given charge of to take care of. These three areas make up every one of our lives. Every one of us have an inner who we are, our character. Every one of us have relationships. And every one of us have some degree of responsibilities. Now, here's the reality about this. Who you are on the inside impacts your relationships and it impacts your responsibilities. What makes up the real you, if you're a person with high moral character, or maybe you're a person that struggles with various issues, if you're a person that, you know, looks at life with a passion and gusto, or you're a person that's a little bit more pessimistic about life, those things about who you are impacts the kind of relationships you have. It impacts the kind of people that you're in relationship with. It impacts your marriage. It impacts your the way you raise your kids. It impacts your relationships. Who you are on the inside impacts everything about who you relate to and how you relate to them. Not only does it impact your relationships, but it impacts your responsibilities. It makes a difference if you're a person that people want to work with, if you're the kind of person that people want to work for, if you're the kind of person a company wants to hire. Who you are on the inside impacts the responsibilities that you have and what you follow through with. This impacts these two. Jesus talked about this on one occasion. In the Gospel of Mark, we're going to look at this occasion where some religious leaders were asking Jesus why his disciples didn't do a ceremonial washing of their hands before they ate. Now, we're not talking about, you know, they've been out working, their hands are all grimy, and they had to wash them before they ate. No, we're talking about a ceremonial thing. And it was something that had been put in practice for a few hundred years. It was a tradition that had come up in the religious ranks, but it was not something that the scripture mandated. It was just a tradition that they had. And evidently, his disciples sat down to eat and didn't do the ceremonial washing. And so these religious leaders are questioning Jesus. Why don't they do the ceremonial washing? Because your disciples are a reflection of the leader. And so they're trying to call him into account for these things. And in Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 14, Jesus begins to answer some of their questions. But in doing so, he answers it to the whole crowd. So he's answering their questions, but talking to the crowd. He says this, and Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. He said, all of you listen. And try to understand, it's not what goes into your body that defiles you. You are defiled by what comes from your heart. He said, listen, it's not a matter of what goes into your body. I mean, you can eat and drink whatever, but that's not what defiles you. In fact, you can abstain. You can do all the rituals and all the rules outwardly, but your heart can still be far from God. He's like, it's from the heart. That's what defiles a person. That's what stands out is, man, you're either walking with God or you're not. It's what's coming from the heart. He goes on. He says this. Can't you see that food you put into your body cannot defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart. Now, he's not talking about your physical heart like, you know, fatty foods don't go into your heart. Yes, those things still happen, okay? You're like, Jesus, I can eat and do whatever. Not going to affect my heart. That's a different deal, all right? He didn't say that. But food doesn't affect who you are, the character, who you are internally. It doesn't affect your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. So he does give a little biology lesson here. He's like, listen, the things that you eat, they're just going to go right on through and you're going to flush them out, right? That doesn't affect your heart. That's not about that. It's not about the things that you eat or drink that has the impact. It's about what's inside of you. It's about your character. He goes on, he says this. And he added, it is what comes from inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. He says, who you are on the inside is what's either going to defile you or not. It's not about what you put in. It's about what's coming out. It's about what's in the heart. He's saying, if your heart is messed up, then everything else is going to be messed up along the way. If your heart is messed up, it's going to come out in your relationships. It's going to come out in your behavior. I think it would be a rare occasion to ever find a sin that somebody would commit that didn't originate in the heart. There's not a real spontaneous sin. Anything you do, it originated in the thoughts of the heart, in the character of the heart. He says, if your heart is messed up, it's going to impact the other facets of your life. Now, see, we kind of know this. And we understand that you know what? If my heart is messed up, who I am on the inside, it can affect my relationships. In fact, I don't know of any marriages that ever break up because of marriage issues. Honestly, I don't know of any that break up because of relationship issues. The couples that I've counseled, it all has to do with the heart. It all has to do with, you know, things that you want and things that you don't want in your own heart that really mess up the relationship. Most people don't lose their job because of competency issues. Most people lose their job because of character issues. What you have going on inside of you impacts your life. It impacts everything around you. And if your heart is messed up, if your character is messed up, if things are not right on the inside, it's going to impact the things that are around you, specifically your relationships and your responsibilities. Now, I don't know that that's rocket science that I'm saying. You know, I don't think anybody's sitting there going, I have never even heard that or thought about that. Most of us know those things are connected. But the problem kind of gets compounded a little bit. Because in our society, in our culture, you can find plenty of books, podcasts, resources to help you with your relationships and your responsibilities. You can find plenty of things that will tell you how to behave, what to do, what things to say and not say, how to perform, how to be successful. You can find plenty of things that help you in relationships and responsibilities, but you can't find a whole lot that's going to help you in character. You can't find a whole lot of resources that are out there that will help you in who you are on the inside. And just as life goes, in life we grow up, we don't naturally know how to have successful relationships. By nature, most of us are pretty self-centered. Most of us are pretty selfish. And so that just kind of goes against having a real great relationship, you know. But what do? You learn, right? Or some of you have. Some of you are still learning. But it's okay. You learn. You learn the right things to do, the right things to say. You learn the things not to do, not to say, to have a successful relationship. You learn over time, maybe through, you know, trial and error. But you begin to learn. Here's what to do to have a successful relationship. In the same way, you begin to learn. Here's what to do to have a successful career. Here's what to do to be responsible. I have to be responsible for my grades, and then those good grades will get me into the college I want, and that college maybe opens a door to the job that I want that'll give me a lucrative, you know, income. And I've learned how to be responsible. I've learned these areas of my life. But life doesn't necessarily teach us about this. Life doesn't necessarily teach us about how to be a person of character, how to have a heart that's healthy. Most of us in our responsibilities, we have ways of being rewarded or penalized for things. In your relationships, you have built-in accountability. You say, what are you talking about? Well, if you're married and your spouse wakes up and she's upset or he's upset, then you know something yesterday went down that wasn't right. There's accountability. It's not like, oh, new day, let's just start over. No, no harm, no foul. No, there's accountability. I know if I don't do these certain things, then the relationship's going to be harmed. Built-in accountability in your job. There's accountability. You do the things that you're supposed to do, then guess what? You get bonuses. You get rewarded. If you don't, then you get walking papers maybe. I don't know. But I mean, there's built-in accountability. There's no accountability here. If you never do anything to work on this, who's going to know? What accountability is there? You say, well, I go to church. And maybe you were fortunate enough to grow up in a home where maybe parents taught you about your conscience, about being a person of character. But since you've left home, who's checking in on that part of your life? You say, well, I go to church. Well, mostly church is about information download and hopefully some inspiration along the way. There's no accountability. I'm not going to show up at your house tomorrow and say, hey, you doing what I told you to do yesterday? That's not going to happen. That'd kind of freak you out, wouldn't it? That's not going to happen. So there's no accountability there. You're not accountable, you know, if in your workplace. And no classes on character. If you're in a class on character, it's probably because someone determined that you didn't have it, and so you had to go, and now it's a punishment, right? So it's like, where do you get this? Where do you get this? You all kind of places that you can get this and this, but who's checking on this? I mean, when's the last time somebody walked into your office and said, hey, I just want to check on your heart? You'd be like, excuse me? What in the world are you on? You know what I mean? It's like, nobody does that. Hey, I just want to see if you're doing good on the inside. You know, nobody does that. So where do you ever get that? Who's there to check on those areas of your life? And it even gets worse than that. Because it's not like our culture, society is just off limits to your character, right? I mean, every day, our culture, our society chips away at our character, at our morality, at our ethics, chips away at our self-control, chips away at our honesty, chips away at every good part that might be in our heart. So what do? I believe, and I think the scripture teaches, that what we need for this area of our life is called authentic community. You say, what do you mean by authentic community? Well, here's why I would define that. Authentic community is where people genuinely connect and are encouraged in their relationship with God and others. It's a place where people genuinely connect. When I mean genuinely connect, you know the people there and they know you. It's not like, you know, they say, well, how's things going today? Oh, fair to partly cloudy and everybody's all right with that. You know, no, they know more about you. There's a genuine connection there. And there's an encouragement, there's a challenge in your relationship with God and your relationship with other people. Community, authentic community. Psychologist and author Larry Crabb, he said this: authentic community is a place where good friends and wise people turn their chairs inward and talk well. It's where good friends, people that you know, they know you, wise people, you get together, you turn your chairs inward, and you talk well. See, that's the difference between community and what you experience here on Sundays. My prayer and my hope before I ever come out and speak on any Sunday is, God, please use me today. Please speak through me so that people's hearts would be encouraged and challenged and changed. Please use me. But also know that authentic community, the likelihood of that happening in this room is slim to none. Because you sit in here in rows. You don't have your chairs turned inward and talking well. You sit in here in rows and you listen to me. And all the rows face me. And let me just tell you this. The rows don't know. And you can just go and write that down. The row don't know. The row don't know about the struggles in your heart. The row don't know about the struggles in your marriage. The row don't know about the fears and the frustrations that you're going through right now. The row don't know about the possibility of you losing your job. The row don't know about your children and the struggles that you're having there. What the row knows is that you look good. Hopefully you smell good. You smiled. You waved. You sang a while ago. Some of you sang well. Some of you didn't. That's okay. No perfect people. No perfect singers. But that's all they know about you. They probably don't even know your name. There's no genuine connection. Because the row don't know. Authentic community happens when we can turn our chairs inward. And we get to know people. Now here at the Bridge, we call that small group. And we talk a lot about small group at the Bridge. And when we say small group, what we're talking about is a group of 6 to 8 couples or 10 to 12 singles who meet together consistently outside of Sunday morning, outside of this place, usually in people's homes. And they get to know each other in a genuine kind of way. They're able to open up about who they are, what's going on in their life. They're able to encourage each other, challenge each other. There's some accountability there. You can open up God's Word and see how God's Word might come to play on your situation and what you're going through. See, that's where authentic community can happen. It's difficult for that to happen in here. But it happens in small group all the time. And at the Bridge, we have many, many small groups. And Seth and Stephanie Pratt joined a small group about a year or two ago. And I want you to hear from them why they like small groups so much. Check this out.
You are influenced by the people that you surround yourself with. So when things are rough, you know, who are you going to turn to?
So we joined the Bridge in the fall of 2016, and it was about a month later that we found a small group that we liked, and we'd started going to that.
I think it was mainly just community that I was looking for, just being a newlywed, and that was really hard, and so I just needed believers that had the same mindset that I did and could help guide me.
So, and on top of that, we had our niece that started living with us this past year, so just having that sense of community and fellowship was huge for us. No matter what church that we've been a part of, it's always been, you know, important for us to be in a small group so we can kind of make relationships within the church with like-minded believers.
What I like about our small group specifically is that it's a mixture of people. Like, it's not just married people. It's not just middle-aged people. It's just kind of a mixture of people. And so kind of having that perspective from everyone helps.
Small groups for us, it's kind of that night of the week where we can take a break from, you know, school and work and things like that that just kind of start, you know, wearing you out. And it's kind of almost like a recharge, getting to go and see all of our friends and familiar faces, and also getting just to have that refresher with God's Word is that's been a big part why we keep going.
I mean, I'm going to continue going to a small group because I'd go nuts if I didn't. Mainly just because, you know, I crave those times where I can just get recharged and then also talk to other parents that are more experts than I am.
Being part of a small group has introduced us to, you know, some of the people that have become some of our best friends over the past year.
When the times get rough, who's going to stand up and comfort you in that time? Is it going to be someone that has opposite belief values than you do? Or is it going to be believers that, you know, can lift you up in the way that God wants to lift you up? So it's about community.
Who's going to be there for you? Who's going to be there as you walk through various struggles? As you face various things in life? Who will be there to walk with you? Who will be there to check on the real you? What's going on inside. My wife, Trina, and I, we've been a part of small groups since we started them like 15 or so years ago. And over the years, our small group has changed, and we've been a part of some different ones. You see different pictures that are coming up there. But these groups, and see, and what I want you to understand is that the staff and I, this is not something we talk about. This is something that we live. This is something that we desperately feel like is crucial for our lives. You know, we're not just spokesmen. We're actually clients. You know, I mean, we thoroughly believe in that sense of authentic community. And right now, we're in a small group where I'm the oldest guy, but they still allow me to hang out with them anyway. But it's just been neat to watch in different groups as we serve together, as we study God's word at times together, as we grow together in our relationships, just how God uses that in our lives to grow us, to teach us, to help us be the best that we can be, to help us be the person that God has created us to be, that really knows who we are. And we open up and we get vulnerable and we tell them things that we're going through. We tell them struggles that we're having. Yes, and the pastor does have struggles, okay? And we tell them, we get open about those kinds of things because we want to be known in that way. We want to genuinely connect in that way. It's critical for our lives. And I think the same would be true for your life. And don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about, you know, group therapy where they're getting in touch with the, you know, inner you. You know, we don't talk about little Scott and his struggles in eighth grade. That's not what we're talking about. It's not, you know, tissue fest where we, you know, sit around in a circle with our legs crossed and we hum and we cry. That's not it. It's genuinely a place where you get to know each other. And people know you and you know them. And when you face things, they genuinely care what you're going through. When you have to talk to your son or daughter about an issue and you are apprehensive and you're not sure how that's going to go, and you share that with a group that cares about you, not only will they pray for you, but then the next week they'll ask you, how did that go? I prayed for you this week. When you have to have a meeting with your boss or with a coworker and you know it's not going to go well, or at least you're afraid it's not going to go well, this is a group you can share that with. They'll pray for you. They'll ask you the next week, how'd that go? When you face struggles in your own personal life, when you have struggles in your marriage, when you have struggles that you're just walking through in life, heartaches, frustrations, fears, these are the people that you let know. And I know some of that might scare you to death. But here's the truth. All of us, we have to do this. And we have to do this. If you don't do this and you don't do this well, you won't be successful in anything in life. But we don't have to do this. But this impacts all of this. And if we're not working on this, at some point, it's going to come out. And it's going to be harmful and hurtful for you and a lot of people around you. And if you're not plugged into a small group, we're about to kick off a next semester of small groups starting February 4th. It's the next groups that were being formed. And if you're not in one, and you want more information about how to be a part of one, all you have to do is real simple, and every one of you, I'm sure, have cell phones on you. Just text the word TOGETHER to 313131. It's right there on the screen. It's very simple. You will immediately get information back on what you need to do to be a part of a small group. Or you can go to our website, thebridge.me/groups, and you can find out all the information you need there about groups. If you have questions today about groups, we have a group that's set up out there in the lobby that's there just to answer your questions related to small groups, because we want you to be informed. We want you to be a part. We want your life to be impacted by walking with others. The fact that we're all imperfect should be evidence that we need other people in our lives. The book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews said this in chapter 10, verse 25. He said, "We should not stop gathering together with other believers, as some of you are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming." He said, you can't get to the place where you stop meeting together as believers. Now, I don't think he's referencing, you know, coming together and sitting and listening to some songs and listening to some guy stand up and talk for a while. That's not what I think he's talking about, that there is a value to this corporate aspect of worship that we do. There's value there. But when he says, don't stop meeting together, and then he follows that, but encourage each other. You see, it's hard to encourage someone that you don't really know. It's hard to be encouraged by people that don't really know you. But when you're a part of something that you know they know you and you know them, they have the ability to encourage you, to challenge you, to walk with you, to hold you accountable, to help you in your walk with God and in your relationship with other people. Don't give up meeting together. As some are in the habit of doing. See, in that particular time, some people were saying, I don't have time for this. There's too much going on. I mean, I got way too many things happening in my life. I don't have time for this. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, No. You've got to make the time for this because your heart needs it. Your life needs it. Who you are on the inside needs the encouragement, needs the accountability, and needs the challenge. You need it. And so you make time for it. Bottom line, here's the bottom line. Authentic community helps to build the real you. Authentic community will help build the real you. Where is this happening? If it's not in a community group, if it's not in a small group, if it's not in an authentic community, for you, where is this happening? Because I promise you, this is going to impact everything else in your life. And so I encourage you, be a part of an authentic community. If that doesn't mean small groups with us, then that's fine. But you need to be a part of authentic community. And we've tried to make it easy by creating small groups for you to be a part of. And I hope and pray that you'll get plugged in. Let me pray for us, okay? God, thank you so much for encouraging us, challenging us on the whole idea of community. God, this was your idea. The whole thought of being known by someone else, being known by others in a genuine kind of way, being open in those kind of relationships, that we can then be challenged, that we can be encouraged. All of that is who you are. You encourage us toward authenticity. You encourage us toward vulnerability. You encourage us toward working on the real us on the inside. So God, I pray that you would help us not to neglect that. But God, that we would desire to be a part of authentic community, of a small group. And God, that as we do that, you would change our lives. And I believe, because I've been a part of it, I believe and I know that life is better together with other people. And I pray that you would help us to realize the value in that today. And we thank you for leading us toward authentic community. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, we are so